I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and this is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news, features, and opinion from ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. For listeners who rebroadcast ARRL Audio News on repeaters, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to momentarily stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset. These are top stories for Friday, April 20th. An amateur radio on the International Space Station School Contact with crew member Ricky Arnold, KE5DAU, was a huge success on more than one level. 15 students at Pinson Valley High School in Alabama had the opportunity to chat via ham radio on April 10th in a direct contact with Arnold, who was at the helm of NA1SS for his inaugural contact. Witnessing the event was an audience of more than 1,400, including 400 students. The event attracted considerable media attention from TV news crews and a print reporter. The radio contact was then followed by a motivational speech from a U.S. Navy SEAL team member, after which 4 Navy SEALs and Pinson Valley's vice principal parachuted onto the school's football field. English teacher Jennifer Moore, KF4INA, who served as the spark plug for the event, praised the support of Huntsville Amateur Radio Club members with help from the Birmingham and Blount County Amateur Radio Clubs. A story in the Trustville Tribune included a comment from Pinson City Council member and radio amateur Robbie Roberts, KB4WUI, who attended Pinson Valley High School and went on to get an engineering degree. Quote, "I think this is something that students looking to do in the future would certainly appreciate, and it gives you a chance to be able to see the bigger picture of what's possible, so I think it's great exposure for these kids," close quote. International Space Station Ham Project Coordinator Kenneth Ransom, N5VHO, commended the cooperation of Alabama Power, which resolved an RF interference issue that would have affected the contact. The utility went to the extent of shutting down a substation to quiet the radio noise so that the contact could go forward. FCC Commissioner Mignon Clyburn is leaving the commission. She announced at the commission's April 17 meeting that it would be her last as a commissioner. She plans to leave before the commission's next scheduled meeting on May 10th. Following her 2013 appointment by President Barack Obama, Clyburn served as acting FCC chair, the first woman to head the agency. She is currently serving a second term on the commission. Radio amateurs in Canada are poised to join those in several other nations around the world who have access to the 60-meter band, 5351.5 to 5366.5 kHz, as agreed upon at World Radio Communication Conference 2015, but with a maximum power of 100 watts effective radiated power. The updated Canadian Table of Frequency Allocations includes a new allocation, although radio amateurs have not yet been authorized to use it. Canada's radio amateurs will also retain the 4 amateur radio channels that do not fall within the new allocation. These have been authorized under a footnote to the table since 2014, permitting phone, data, and CW at a maximum occupied bandwidth of 2.8 kHz. The 60-meter allocation and spot frequencies are on a secondary non-interference basis. In January 2017, ARRL asked the FCC to allocate a new secondary contiguous band at 5 MHz to the amateur service, while also retaining 4 of the current 5 60-meter channels and current operating rules. The federal government is the primary user of the 5 MHz spectrum in the U.S. The FCC has yet to act on ARRL's petition. Amateur radio got 2 new bands last year, but is anyone actually using them? The answer is yes, especially on 630 meters. Ralph Walio, W0RPK, and others who took part in ARRL's WD2XSH Part 5 experimental operation say activity is definitely picking up. Walio has been maintaining an informal database tracking the activity of stations on a state-by-state basis, as well as how many states each station has worked. Topping the list is Eric Tichansky, NO3M, in Pennsylvania, with 36 states worked on 630 meters and 35 confirmed, including Hawaii and Alaska. NO3M, who also operates as W3CDX, reports 8 DXCC entities worked on the new band. Walio said his list will be updated weekly. Walio said modes frequently used for 630-meter contacts include CW, JT9, WSQ, and FT8, with occasional additional digital mode experiments and SSB. Numerous U.S. stations are also participating in WSPR beacon transmission, reception, and reporting on 472 kHz. Transatlantic and Trans-Pacific contacts on the new band also have been reported. John Langridge, KB5NJD, advises stations operating on 630 meters to upload their logs to Logbook of the World. Girls Can Do ICT is the theme of International Girls in Information and Telecommunication Technologies Day on April 26th. An initiative of the International Telecommunication Union, International Girls in ICT Day aims to create a global environment that empowers and encourages girls and young women to consider careers in the growing telecommunications field. International Girls in ICT Day is celebrated every year on the fourth Thursday of April. To date, more than 300,000 girls and young women have taken part in some 9,000 celebrations of International Girls in ICT Day in 166 countries. Brian Justin, WA1ZMS in Virginia, recently completed contacts on 29 amateur radio bands, which may be a record. He saved the lowest band for last. On April 11, he completed a CW contact on the new 2200-meter band with K3MF in Pennsylvania. Justin said he started working his way through the bands at the high end of the spectrum, those allocations above 24 gigahertz. Starting in 2000, by 2003 he had confirmed contacts on each band from 1.8 megahertz to 300 gigahertz. Since then, a few ham bands have changed. For example, the 2.5 millimeter band shifted from 120 gigahertz to 122 gigahertz, and the 2 millimeter band moved down from 145 gigahertz to 134 gigahertz. Throughout this process, he earned the first ever ARRL VUCC awards for 47 gigahertz, 76 gigahertz, 122 gigahertz, 134 gigahertz, and 241 gigahertz, and even went so far as to make the first contact on a less than 1 millimeter band, 322 gigahertz. When 630 and 2200 meters became official last year, Justin had his work cut out for him. As one of the ARRL WD2XSH experimental stations, he made a quick work of 630 meters, working NO3M on SSB the day after the band opened for amateur radio work. His CW QSO on 2200 meters came last week, about 250 kilometers or 155 miles. He's hoping to see the QSL card this week.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
AMSAT has a new award available for satellite operators. Rather than just be based on being in a certain grid, county, state, etc., this award has several facets for hams to participate. Yes, you do get 1 point for each grid square activated outside your home grid using a single-channel FM satellite. There are 2 points for sideband or CW and 3 points for digital. Then add an additional point for activating a state, province, or DX entity outside your home entity. Making this award a bit more fun, if you post your operation using an open or public social media, such as Twitter, Facebook, or the AMSAT BB, 24 hours prior to the operation, you get an additional 5 points. Take pictures of your operation and post them to social media after the operation earns an additional 5 points. All you need is 25 total points to earn the AMSAT Rover Award. There are several more bonus points available, and you can see the rest of them at AMSAT.org under Services and then Awards. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, April 20th. Remember that little sunspot we reported last week? Well, it's gone, but another one has taken its place. This group of sunspots is more active, so the solar flux index has risen to about 70. That isn't great, but it may be enough to improve conditions on 20 meters and possibly on the higher bands. Despite this bit of good news, an interplanetary shockwave struck our atmosphere on April 19th, and it caused the solar particle density around our planet to quadruple and the magnetic field intensity to increase tenfold. At the time this forecast was recorded, we had a geomagnetic storm in progress, and conditions were very poor on all the HF bands. However, the disruption should taper off pretty soon. On VHF and UHF, there have been a fair number of band openings scattered throughout the U.S. and Canada. Most of them seem to be taking place in California, Colorado, Washington State, and Michigan.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.